Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome BTEC Smith and Steve Metz.
BTEC Smith and Steve Metz,
you are now entering the Megacast.
The Megacast.
What's up, Ted?
Oh, hey, Steve.
How are you doing, my friend?
You know, I'm actually pretty good today, but, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, you had the day off. You have the week off, but you have commitment. You are here to do the Megacast.
I am.
You also have to do other stuff, too.
Yeah, I also got to learn to run the board so Robin can finally take a damn day off.
Yeah, she needs one. Wait, that didn't sound right.
No, she does.
Like, I walk in, she's yelling, she's throwing things. Right. The girl needs a day off, man.
Well, when we did the syndication stuff, and then we moved studios, so, basically, her and Mike all summer, if the men's room's been off, they have not.
Right, because they got to make sure things are running for all the other stations, because you're not necessarily on vacation in the other markets. You're, quote-unquote, live still.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's got to be a colossal pain in the D, or for her, a pain in the V.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, so I was like, you know what? I'll come in this week, start learning the board again. Yeah.
Team player.
And we got the beard in there helping Mike out, so Mike can take a couple days off.
It's the beard's birthday. Don't forget to wish him a happy birthday.
It is his birthday today.
I saw that on Facebook. It's also my mom's birthday.
Oh, all right. Happy birthday, Migliori's.
Yeah, so I don't want it. I feel like they don't like it when we call them and put them on the radio.
It's just going to be a thing.
Yeah, it's just going to be. You know what the problem is? We'll call my mom to wish her a happy birthday. We'll ask her a question, and then my dad will take over.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, then it's all about my dad, which, it's their anniversary tomorrow, so I guess it could be about him. But, yeah, I'll make that an offline conversation.
Yeah, I also just want to say for the record, while it sounds nice that I'm coming in and learning something else, I'm also saving vacation. It's like I got some vacation days I'm used. So I don't want to come off like I'm some kind of goddamn martyr.
Oh, no, Ted, we learned from the last TED Talk that you're a selfish man that has a selfish plan.
Yeah,
you're
kidding.
Yeah,
right?
You have nothing but selfish inside of you.
Always.
Yes.
That's what people say about Ted Smith.
And shellfish. We also learned that because you like crab.
I do.
Yes.
Crabs. God
crabs.
Damn it, put an S on it.
You don't like just one crab.
All the crabs
in your belly.
Oh, I can't believe I just said that.
Ted, today's podcast, I'm looking at my notes, and they're very odd.
All right.
I have three things on here. Dentist. Well, I guess four, because, one's kind of like a subreddit of the other one.
All right.
It's like a dentist mall.
All right.
Luke.
Nice. I want to talk about Luke.
And women's breasts.
I'm in. I like women's breasts.
That's on the docket for today's Megacast. But first, we got to get 10 to get the heart race and the blood pumping and the brain
functioning.
And Ted, this one's for you. I thought of you.
Nice.
And I feel like you should have this one because it is currently the number one song in all of the world.
Yes. Oh, I was right on this one, too.
You were. You nailed it. Who's this again?
Cardi B.
With Bodak Yellow?
This is Bodak Yellow.
Yeah.
That's the name of the song.
Okay. Well, let's get 10.
The other guy's name is Kodak Black.
I've got questions. But let's get 10 push-ups in first.
Don't get comfortable.
Here we go.
You can
one.
If you want it to.
Two.
He's expensive.
Three.
He's red bottom. He's
four.
It's just
five.
I can get them both.
Six.
I don't want it to.
Seven.
Then I'm quick. Cutting.
Eight.
Also, don't get
nine.
Comfortable. Look.
Ten.
I don't dance now. I make money moves.
Ted, what the hell is a Bodak Yellow? That's my question.
That part I'm not sure about. It took me a while to figure out what the red bottom shoes were.
Is that Louboutins?
Yes.
See, I know that because I got a wife.
All right.
Those are apparently that's status. Like they're $1,000 at the cheap.
Yeah.
At the cheap. At the cheapest.
Yeah.
Plus, on the cheap, yo.
On the cheap, son. You know me, man. I'm always in for a good dirty club or strip club song, too.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about it that way. I'm just shocked that that's the number one song in all the land right now.
Dude, it's big in clubs. People can dance to it.
Beat out Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do, which upsets me, of course, and Billboard Hot 100 last week. And it makes her the first solo female rapper, this Cardi B, to top the chart since Lauryn Hill back in 1998.
No kidding.
That's impressive.
Steve, why am I not running a pop station? I clearly know hits when they come out.
You clearly do, dude, because honestly, I think it's a cool song. It's definitely a song I would want to listen to at 3 in the morning, not sober.
Yeah.
But I would have never, ever guessed that that would be the hottest song in town right now.
Yeah, it was funny. I was watching an interview with a DJ months ago and on Desus and Mero, and they were just like, what's the best song in the club right now? And he's like, Bodak Yellow, Cardi B.
And look at you, you're on top
like,
of it.
I was like, all right. So then I listened to it. I was like, I don't know if I like this one. Then I was like, oh, I love this song.
It's cool, but it just, I don't know. It just
it's aggressive.
Yeah, it's slow and aggressive. You know what my jam is right now?
Hit me. Watch the roof come
off. I pull up in that. Hold on. I'll bring it back to the beginning.
Is this your boy AJ?
No. Uh-huh. Although I do love his record.
Frank.
Yeah. No, this is a man that I missed by an hour here at work.
Oh, is this the new Macklemore?
Yeah. Pete,
Willie Wonka, I haven't heard it. Come on.
I pull up it's him and Offset. Is that the guy from Migos?
Yeah. Offset. Yeah, that's a much dirtier trap sound for him.
Yeah. When there's food involved. Hell no. Let the truth be told.
I'm in the Gucci rope with the dookie rope and little Boosie on. All right,
Macklemore. Yeah, he's like, you know what? I don't need Ryan Lewis.
Yeah, what is the deal with him and Ryan Lewis?
Dude, I have no idea. I don't know. I would imagine that he just felt like throwing out a solo record for fun. Although I'm reading articles and it sounds like Ryan Lewis isn't about let's just see what sticks and keep it. Like he's very like, no, do it again, do it better. Do it again, do it better. Rewrite that part. So maybe he just needed a break from Oh. Damn it, Macklemore, why do you got a curse? I thought this was
the clean
version.
Clean version of Cardi B, which is hard to do.
Right. And then, I found the one that doesn't have the explicit. Oh, it does have the explicit thing. I like that part.
I think it's hard.
Right? It's a dance party.
I was dancing now.
Right? This is a great song. I really love the new Macklemore CD. It's called Gemini. And freaking guy was here at the radio station doing the whole, yeah. Everyone's got pictures with the Mac.
I missed that all.
I left an hour before he showed up. And you know how much I love Macklemore.
Yeah, we were there on night two.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen him a few times.
God, that'd be almost 4 years ago, right?
I know.
In December? That probably will be 4 years.
I had a whole campaign on my old podcast, and it was the STP cast, trying to get him to be on our podcast. Did all the work, minus actually asking his management, but we just tweeted a lot about it.
Well, all right, so I knew he was here. I wasn't here that day. I was out of town. But then I didn't know there was any deal with him and Ryan Lewis, and then I just saw it was like, Macklemore says him and Ryan are cool. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, then I guess there is something.
Well, you know, once you put out a solo record without the guy that you've put out a couple records and had a lot of success with, that people are going to create drama, even if there isn't any drama.
Right.
Like, oh, what's up? Why is he doing a solo thing? Maybe he just wanted to have some fun and not like overthink things. And I really think that this record is a fun record. It's kind of cool, loose vibe to it.
Or maybe they got beef, and we got to pick Steve. It's 2017. We got to pick sides.
Oh, because, you know, it's like this ever since the Twilight movies, it's always been about team this or team that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Team Mac.
All right.
And you are?
I don't know enough about the situation, Steve. I can't believe you're asking me to make an informed opinion on something I don't have knowledge on.
How dare I? I'm such a dick. Well, you'll like this. He was on Jimmy Fallon. He did some like online thing where like they ask him random questions. And that's Macklemore, not Ryan Lewis, because clearly Jimmy Fallon is Team Macklemore.
I can tell.
And he said, look at your phone and what are the most, you know, if you use emojis, it'll show like the ones that you use the most first.
All right.
And so here's Macklemore telling him which emojis he uses the most by looking at his phone's emojis tab.
The eggplant.
So clearly he... Right?
Yeah,
first thing he says is the one that is the international dong.
Yeah.
Eggplant. All right, let's go back and let's see what else he has. So let's see what is Macklemore using as his form of communication?
The eggplant. Surprise face. A horse. A purple heart. And a clown.
All right. That seems odd.
Clearly he's into silly horse sex. That catches it in the surprise spot.
I think I use the eye winking the most.
I use, I text a lot with my wife, shockingly. Yeah. I mean, we communicate a lot. In fact, she just sent me a bunch of X's and O's. So let me see. On my phone, if I was going to go, let me write, see if I'm going to do a text. And I'm going to do
text,
emojis.
Steve.
All right. Emojis. So my number one, Hold on.
Is that only on iPhones, though?
I don't know. Like, is that how your emojis show up?
Oh, no. Mine show up grouped.
Oh, okay. So mine, this is my favorite emojis currently. Heart, the red heart, because I love my wife.
Right.
Then the smiley face with the hearts in its eyes. Then the kissy face. Then the poop. Then the Jeep.
All right. Oh, I'm driving in my Jeep.
Beep, beep. And then two men wrestling.
All right. That makes sense.
So that pretty much sums up my relationship with my wife.
Okay, up in like categories.
Oh, how about in the very beginning, though? In the very beginning, that's usually the ones you use the most.
Oh, those have been the same since I got it.
Oh, okay. Because I'm going to say that you're definitely not an angel.
No, because I always got to go over here to use. I use that one a lot, but it's not on my top.
Ah, well, I guess we won't know. And then also, he was asked about.
This isn't a fun game.
No. I was hoping that you'd have an eggplant, a big, throbbing eggplant as your. No, sorry, that sounded weird.
Well, I really only use emojis with a couple people.
Yeah,
you know,
I only use them really with my wife.
Yeah, I was gonna say like, I'm sure I've sent you an emoji.
Yeah, when we're wasted, we might send emojis to each other.
But I feel like for the most part, the only people I emoji are Joe and Taryn.
Yeah.
So it's generally, that's what I'm saying. It's always like the winky face or just like a smile.
I just want to know, what the hell is he using the eggplant a lot for?
Obviously, you know.
Yeah.
He's saying, girl, get over here, suck this eggplant.
Yeah. It's good for you.
Ryan Lewis is gone. We could do it in the studio now.
Right. I've got extra room. And right. He won't overthink it and make you do it again. First take. Fine.
Yeah. Yeah, Migos are so hot. Offset, girl, watch. I got more flavor than Willy Wonka. I took three bitches to Benny Hanna's. I took a jet out the Punta Cana. She got her lift from my endocrine. Hands on my hip when I grip the burner.
I wish we had a studio audience so people could see Ted doing his weird robot dance. It's freaking awesome.
It is, but I'll tell you this much. I've watched enough videos just sitting in my house messing around. That I feel like I have, like, now decently I can dance to all the trap music.
Yeah, you're doing a good job. Yeah. I feel like I'm at a trap club of two.
Ted Talks, starring B-Tex Smith.
Oh, gosh, come on. Offset, you were nice and clean. Now you got to curse. I got to work today.
You really thought Offset was going to do a verse and not curse?
I was impressed that he went that far. Macklemore is clearly the potty mouth with the eggplant.
So at the beginning of the podcast today, Steve said, how you doing? I said, I'm pretty good.
Yes.
Right? But for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the political stuff, whatever. Oh, I have a few people in my life. They're going through some tough times.
Okay.
Now, a couple months ago, I was going. So either way, simple message today. Just keep grinding, people.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. Like, I am so confused some of these days. Like, there's part of me that wants to say, just take a week off from everything. Just do your job. Go home. Say what's up to your family. Say hello to your dog. Go home and sit in your giant chair. Whatever it is.
Get off Facebook.
Like, whatever it is you do. But then there's also part of me that's like, we got to stay on this stuff. We got to keep talking about it because it's so important. So there's just so much stuff going on.
Yep.
And then I'm dead serious. I have some other people that are just going through some tough times. So my message today, pure and simple, just keep grinding. Don't make any crazy decisions. Just keep grinding. You know, like, you're going to get through this.
And enjoy some Willy Wonka.
Another curse is coming.
No, I rewound it to the part where I knew that he wasn't going to curse.
Willy Wonka live on acres.
Willy Wonka. Dude, man. Right before we started the podcast, I have a lot of friends that have certain convictions towards both sides. And it's very difficult sometimes because it's like, I don't want to engage. I just don't. I just don't want to engage and argue with people on social media, especially. One of my friends has the audacity. He posts a picture, and it's the one of a bunch of hockey players standing and says, you know, hockey players don't take a knee, blah, 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 because they're not whiny P words. And I'm like, okay, well, let's dissect this, first of all. They're on ice skates. It's a lot more difficult just to take a knee. Secondly, most of those guys that are in line are non-American. So I can understand why. And thirdly, they haven't played a game yet in the regular season. So who knows? Maybe there will be players that are going to find a way to show their support for people that have not been treated well over the course of time. I don't know. We'll find out. But so this guy posts that. Somebody posts something. Somebody posts something else. Now, all of a sudden, there's a political argument that's happening because of that post. The guy who posted it goes, enough of this already. I'm sick of this S. I didn't ask for this to turn into a political argument.
Yes, you did. You started it with that.
And the girl that was, who I was leaning more towards her side on a lot of things, she's like, well, then why did you post this political statement with this picture?
Right.
Like, if you didn't want this argument, then don't post this, you idiot.
Yeah.
And that's the world we're in right now. People just want to, they want to throw out their opinion, and then God forbid anyone doesn't agree with them. They want to be like, I don't want this to be a conversation about politics. Well, you started it, man.
What, like, about the fire chief in Washington County, gosh, in Pittsburgh, who posts Coach Tomlin is another no good N. Ends it with an ER. And then even types on Facebook, yeah, I said it.
Yes.
I saw a quote from him today that was like, I'm not really a racist. The media got this out of control. Like, dude, you posted on Facebook, you called him an N-word.
And said, confirmed it.
Yeah, I meant it. Like, it's like at a certain point, almost, this sounds horrible, but I want to say, it's okay. Like, we know you're racist, but just stop with the BS. Well, the media blame me, this and that. I mean, even with the kneeling crap, like, okay, Kaepernick started to talk about police brutality against African-Americans,
right?
Now, we got billionaire owners sitting out there going, this is a sign of unity. It's like, it's BS. And then people are getting all worked up about who respects the flag, who doesn't respect the flag. By the way, the guy in Pittsburgh, he came out yesterday and said, hey, I walked too far out of the tunnel. I didn't mean to do that to my team.
Right, right.
No. But people are posting him. So it's just like,
his jersey sales skyrocketed.
Right. It's just like, everybody, calm down. Now, if you disagree with the Kaepernick thing, we've talked about it before. That probably would not have been the way I would have chose to protest.
Sure.
But in the end, this is where a lot of people, when you talk about Black Lives Matter or police stuff or anything else, this is where people are reaching a boiling point where I think we're going to start getting into dangerous situations, right? Protests in the streets, and everybody, not just who we deem as racist, city liberals too in Seattle go, well, don't protest there. All right, cool. So we'll do it here. We'll do it silently. Don't do it. So it's just like at certain points, are they just tell them you don't want them to protest. They're not allowed to. All right, we'll start making protests illegal, which kind of goes against the Constitution.
Absolutely.
But I mean, that's where we're kind of getting to. So the whole kneeling thing this weekend, I don't care what side you're on. I'm not sorry. The president of the United States should not sit up there and call them sons of bitches.
And
that was out of line.
And that's what was the tipping point.
Correct.
And I had an argument with somebody who I care a lot about, and they were just like, I don't get why they're doing this. I'm like, I do get why they're doing this. And it got kind of uncomfortable. And I'm like, well, when the president refers to, And as a person locally, Michael Bennett obviously was part of that vitriol that he was saying was towards him. You have to admit it. I mean, because he's been one of the more vocal guys recently, and he's like, these sons of bitches. I'm like, I do not want anybody referring to me as a son of a bitch in that tone. Like, as a joking thing, sure, but like that was a shot.
I told people this over the weekend. Just say this out loud and just, sorry, South. The president gave a speech in Alabama where he called people sons of bitches. I mean, doesn't that just sound kind of bad and racist? Right?
But you know what the crazy part is throughout all of this is that we've completely forgot what they're protesting, and it's become an argument about the flag. It's become an argument about soldiers, and it's, and somebody brought up a point, and I totally agree. And granted, look, I'm not comparing food to our flag, but if somebody's having a hunger strike, nobody ever has an argument about the fact that they're not eating a hamburger.
Correct.
And people are all of a sudden being like, well, why are you having that hunger strike? That's all that is wanted out of all this. People want you to say, why are you kneeling? What is it that makes you so upset that you're kneeling while the national anthem is going? But we've forgotten about all that. So what we have is a country that's completely gone crazy. We have a potential war that's going to happen with North Korea.
Yeah.
And nobody cares about any of that stuff that's going on right now. We have a healthcare system that's falling apart in the eyes of many, and myself included. We're not arguing about that right now. What we're arguing about is whether or not people should stand or sit or salute or what during the national anthem. And that, to me, seems really weird. And that's why I wish, I hate to say, like, I wish they would have found a different way to protest. But I do wish they would have found a different way to protest because, unfortunately, nobody is asking them why they're protesting. They're asking them, why would you disrespect the country? And I understand the reason behind all of it. I'm not poo-pooing their protest, but sadly, the message is completely being ignored because everyone's arguing about the flag.
Yeah, and I mean, look, at a certain point, I very much like sports, but I've been saying this for a year. Last year when I went back east, I ran into some people that are, you know, they're friends of family. I know these people. that they're kind of those people. Mm-hmm. And the first thing the dude wanted to do was start talking about Colin Kaepernick. And I just looked at him. I said, well, your whole point is he's not oppressed because he's a millionaire, right? Yeah. All right. Well, you're a grown man that makes your own living. Like, what the what mm-hmm. do you care?
But the Willy Wonka.
He's a grown man playing a football game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, that's part of it, too. It's just like, it is important stuff. But also, like, at a certain point, like, it's still just sports, everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that, to me, it all goes back to the same thing I've been talking about with Trump and how he won and everything else. It's just, it's the corporatization of America. And we do this to each other every day at work, and we don't sweat it, right? We go, well, technically, I didn't say that, right? But I insinuated this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't say that. I just kind of hint, you know, it's this corporate talk where it's like, technically, I didn't say that, so you can't get me on
right,
that.
Right, right.
So now that's what we're doing.
Dude, that's funny because that Facebook argument that the people were having with that hockey picture.
Yeah.
A lot of it was that, like, you're insinuating I said this. And she's like, well, the undertones of what you said are that. And it was a lot of that. Oh, I didn't say it. So, I mean, what? You can't say that I said that.
Like, right.
No, you kind of did say that without saying it.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the hatred you have towards some darker athletes that kneel and the venom you spew at them that you don't at the white supremacist side and then go, I didn't bring race into it. Like, brother, you don't have to.
Right.
We can read between the lines. But that, I think, that's part of where we've gotten.
Scary, you know what I mean? Man. It's very scary. And someone brought up a point, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, you look back, could you imagine social media back in the day of the Rosa Parks days? Would we be arguing about what type of bus she was on?
We would.
Or, like, I can't believe, like, why would she even want to take the D line? Who takes the D line? Idiots only take the D line, as opposed to, well, why is she refusing to sit in the back of the bus?
Right.
That's the part that drives me nuts. It's like, man, this could all be solved rather easily if everybody could be a little bit more empathetic, of course, and also just say, hey, why are you protesting? And then give them the opportunity, whoever it is, to explain why and have a normal conversation as opposed to you are anti-American.
Right. That's the thing that gets me too, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not anti, like the idea that it's anti-America stuff is just BS.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. I mean, right. And then, I mean, just this morning on Fox News, they had Steven Seagal on there.
Oh, saying, we need to know what Steven Seagal has to say.
Well, look,
did they get Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Dude, do you know where he did the interview from?
I
Moscow.
Don't know.
He's a Russian citizen. Now, look, I'm fine with pulling an old actor out, but the man moved to Russia. And now you're going to sit there and put him on. And he goes, these people are disrespecting the flag. He moved to Russia. He's a Russian citizen.
Bro, he saved our country under siege.
I'm just saying, like, this has got.
He stopped terrorism with pool balls, man.
Yeah, and look, under siege. What was the one where they killed his family and then he went back and dug the gun out of the wall? Like, I've seen the movies.
I don't know any of the other titles to the to
Hard
Seagal.
To Kill or something.
But most importantly, we should ask what Lou Holtz has to say about all of this. Because if anyone understands...
God, I love Lou Holtz, but I'm worried. I'm worried what you're going to play here.
Did you hear this?
Oh, no. I'm sure it was something like this, though.
Oh, yes. He was asked, of course, about the NFL protests. And then we'll take a break, and then we'll move on. Don't worry. Like, this isn't going to be a podcast all about this. But And he said, I understand what it's like to be oppressed by the police. And his example is here.
I've been unfairly ticketed. I was given a ticket when I didn't exceed the speed limit because I was coaching at one school and the patrol officer graduated from the other and he let me know he was bitter about the thing. That happens in life.
I love Coach Holtz. Coach Holtz is out of touch. I mean, come on. I got a ticket
I understand what everyone is going through because I got ticketed by an opposing team's student. Alumni.
I use this example all the time, but that's like you having an issue at home with your wife or whatever, and I go, I understand. It's just like when I was married to her, like, whoa, you're never married to my wife. So I always use this argument. We can fathom that in relationships, people treat each other different than the outside you might see. But the idea that the cops might treat a certain group of people different, which some people just refuse to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's not.
He understands what it's like.
I just want to make this point, too, is I talk about the cops a lot. I brought this up on my podcast. I am not anti-cop.
I know.
It's a system that I think they have kind of got these cops into, and it's tough for good cops to speak out.
Yes. 100% agree. Because they're afraid of losing their livelihood. If they
correct.
Do. Yeah. And, you know, that's why.
Yeah.
I crack up. I do this purposely to troll, like, people who are parents, like BJ on the morning show. whenever he's talking about relationships with his daughter, and he's like, well, you don't understand, you don't have kids. And I'm like, I do have a kid. I have a dog, and her name is Lulu. She is my daughter. And it's like that. It's right. No different than that. I truly know. I do not even have an idea of what it's like to be a parent. But of course, I'm going to say I know what it's like to be a parent because I'm a fur daddy.
Right, exactly.
Which sounds weird.
Fur, I know.
Come over here. I'm your fur daddy.
It does sound weird now, Steve.
It sounds really weird. We should take a break. That might have been the weirdest part of this whole conversation.
Fur daddy.
Your fur daddies will be back.
God.
Well, I know what we're calling this podcast.
Yeah, the Megacast gets protested.
When the Megacast returns.
B-Tech Smith and Steve Metz are podcasting renegades. The Megacast will be back.
Welcome to fall and the time for everyone's favorite everything, pumpkin spice. Chances are there's something pumpkin spice in every room of your home, except the bathroom, until now. Introducing new Pumpkin Spice Charmin, turning your throne time into a cozy fall afternoon. New Pumpkin Spice Charmin smells so good, you'll find yourself wishing you had to obliterate the downstairs powder room more often. Filled with the smell of crisp cinnamon, warm toasty pumpkin, a fragrance that says, who needs a courtesy flush? It's just one of three new fall scents. Be looking for warm apple and bayberry cinnamon. So this autumn, just go ahead and peel the wallpaper off from the folks at Charmin, who remind you that there are dozens of brands of bath tissue on the market. But on the whole, they're all the same.
This one. It's heavy as the Megacast is back with B-Tech Smith and Steve.
Oh man, we're gonna move on, but yeah. I have an example of stupidity. Maybe we have time later. We'll just move on. I don't even want to risk it.
Don't.
I want to, but I don't.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say this. We talked about the guy from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
There were some other singers at national anthems that knelt down or whatever.
Yep, saw that.
Just make sure you know exactly what these people were doing, what for, before you start bragging on them.
Right. Before you start using them as an example to side with your agenda, when in actuality what they did goes 100% against what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'll just quickly, briefly. Somebody posted about how great job by the Monday Night Football teams that played because of how they protested, right? And then they mentioned how the singer, which was Jordan Sparks,
yeah,
who did a great job. And they were like, look at her, how awesome she was. And she even had Bible verses written on her hand and then pointed out the stupidity of the players that did kneel. And
right.
Said, those people are stupid. Here's the problem. If you actually went to find out what was written on her hand, the Bible verse that she had written on her hand was fully in favor of the protester, saying that we should fight and be a voice for those that don't have one.
Yeah. But so, you can't... Look, I grew up Catholic, and yeah. I know we got to move on, but you can't tell angelic Christians.
Evangelical, yeah.
You can't tell them anything.
No.
I mean, it's like, sometimes I wonder if I'm one of the few people that was ever religious that actually read the Bible. Like, me and my mother were talking about this the other day, right?
And don't worry, we'll get off this in a minute, and then we'll talk about abortion.
Joel Osteen, to me, is one of the worst people, right?
Yeah.
And people love Joel Osteen, right? Joel Osteen not only is he a multimillionaire, he preaches about wealth being part of your religion and this and that. Now, there is only one time in the Bible that we see Jesus outwardly angry. And it's when he goes to the temple and he sees people making money there. And what does he do? He loses his S. He starts flipping tables and he's like, this is my dad's house. Mm-hmm. This is a house of worship. This is not a place to make money. So it's just amazing to me that people pick and choose. It's you got to be kidding me. Jesus' whole thing is pretty much like, let's help the poor dudes. Mm-hmm. Let's be nice to everybody.
Be cool to hookers.
He hung out with hookers. He hung out with gay dudes, right? Like, I mean, that was his whole thing. And it's amazing you could use anger and be like, yeah, and read the Bible verse.
Right. And sometimes people will take, I obviously spend a lot of time with some people that are religious, and they'll grab things from the Bible and interpret it how they want. In the instance that you're using, you don't need to interpret it. It's very cut and dry, black and white. Don't be this way.
Yeah, dudes in his crew sold him out for like gold or silver.
Yeah.
And he's like, I forgive you. I knew you were going to do this, right? But when he sees people making money at the temple, he loses his ass.
Right.
So to say, it's the only time he's angry.
Bro, speaking of football, yesterday we had Luke Wilson back on the morning show.
Hell of a grab this weekend.
Oh, man. I hope that this is the sign of more opportunities for him, like more balls being thrown his way. Because he had a couple good grabs the week before and this week as well. And a touchdown pass, which I, as you probably experience, as soon as he scores it, you get giddy because it's your homie.
Oh, I get so fired.
How often do we have someone that you know in your life that you could consider a friend and watch score a touchdown in the NFL? Never.
Yeah.
So it's really freaking cool when it happens.
I shut somebody down yesterday.
What'd you do?
They were talking about Luke's touchdown thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, man, you know where he got that. And he's like, yeah, it's a Jesus Christ pose. And I was like, no, it's not. I was like, he got it from Wayne Rooney. And the person kind of looks at me and I go, I was at dinner with Luke when he told me that's where he got it. Like, you don't, I'm sorry. He told us that.
You can't get more. You can't even be. No, it's because you could go to YouTube and probably find him talking about that because he's a big FIFA fan. That's where he got it. It was from playing FIFA soccer.
Right, and watching Wayne Rooney score goals.
And that was a celebration. He's like, yeah, I should do that when I play football, back when he played football in Rice. So you can find that story. But how often can you actually cite it as firsthand? I was at dinner with Luke Wilson.
Like, it's like the ultimate trump card.
Right. Like, that's awesome, dude.
Right?
That's like, funny.
No. He told me.
Well, Luke, not only is he swinging by, hopefully more often on BJ and Migs, which is really cool.
Nice.
But when I was talking to him off the air, he made a very, very distinct point. He's like, hey, man, would you guys have me back on the Megacast?
Nice.
Of course. So he really wants to get back on the Megacast, so we might have to do some Wednesday or Thursday or Tuesday, whatever night works for him. Obviously, he wouldn't be able to do Wednesday afternoons like when we usually do this podcast, but he wants to make some more appearances on the Megacast. So
awesome.
That's very cool. I'm very pumped about that.
I just going to say, he's an awesome dude.
Yep.
I mean, outside of the fact he's a Seahawk, like I think Steve and I would hang out with him in general.
Yes. Obviously, it's cool because he's on the Seahawks. I mean, that's a no-brainer, but we wouldn't spend time with the guy if the coolness would wear off. Coolness of somebody's job or what they are wears off rather quickly if they're a dick.
Yeah,
and the guy as they come, like it's incredible how nice and cool of a dude is. And we've seen him just. It's not like he's playing acting like Mr. Nice Guy. He genuinely is a nice guy.
Yeah,
and we were talking about how like ladies seem to show up on Twitter. Whenever we have him on the podcast or on the morning show, like I told him straight up, I'm like, bro, we got mega babes now. People who listen to our podcast because they listened because you were on it and then stuck around, thankfully, because they liked the show. But originally came to the podcast because you were on it. Like you bring all the girls to the yard. And he was cracking up about that. Even as he was leaving, he's like, really? You call them mega babes? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm running. I got three in my head right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like Rebecca, we're talking to you.
Yes.
What's it? Ashley and
Stephanie.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm like, you guys tweet a lot more when Luke's on.
Yeah. We know what's up. We know where we stand.
I mean, like, let's be honest. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Between the three of us, I'm going Luke every day of the week.
Yeah. You know, we're cool with both being the third wheel. Neither one of us is the second wheel. Luke's tied for second with himself. He's first and second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a motorcycle. We're like two guys in the sidecar.
Yeah. Crammed together. Yep. There's room on the back behind him.
Hey, ladies.
But you remember, I think it might have been.
You want to go for a ride with us? Well, you go for a ride with Luke. We're here too.
By default, you're hanging with Luke, so I guess that's cool, right? Last time we probably talked about Luke Wilson or shared a great story about Luke Wilson was the time that we went to the VMAC.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember?
I just told that Jimmy Graham story the other day.
I brought the Jimmy Graham story up to him on the air. I was torn. I'm like, do I save this for when we have him on the Megacast? But then he brought up how awesome the VMAC was on the morning show. And then I was just like,
you got to tell that story.
I got to bring it up. So for those that don't, you know what, it gets explained in this, but basically Ted and I saw Jimmy Graham naked. And Ted and I were convinced, and we shared this on a past episode of the Megacast, that this was all a giant prank on us. Like, they set this up. Like, this is something that they do. Like, okay, now bring him to the spa room where the pool and the hot tub is. And you walk in and there's just Jimmy Graham just standing there, just posing naked for us. Like, he's our welcoming wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tell everybody, you know, he was such a large, ripped up animal. Like, I just put my head down and looked at my feet.
Right. So I, of course, being the weirdo that I am, decides to bring this up to Luke while we're on the air. And this is how it goes. Let me know if you need me to pause for any moment.
Like, it's a, our facility's pretty cool.
Speaking of the facilities, I have a question for you. It stems from you hanging out on the Megacast with D. Ted Smith and I. He's popped on quite a few times.
Nice. Thanks,
and you,
Steve.
Oh, yeah. Gotta give the plug.
Nice.
Gotta let people know what's up. You were nice enough to give us a tour that one time. Convinced that you and possibly other members of the team pulled a prank on us while we were there.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm meant to hear this.
So you gave us... He had the look on his face like, what the hell is Steve about to bring up?
Right. Is this okay?
Right.
Can I talk about this?
Right. Like, maybe you should have run this by me before we talked about it. But yeah, so he's got the look of fear in his face.
It's a tour, and okay. Then you're like, hey, do you want to check out the pool and the hot tub area of the locker rooms?
Okay.
And we're like, sure. So we're walking through the locker rooms, and we get up in there. And then Luke's like, okay, you guys ready? And we're like, sure. And you open up the door, and as you open up the door, there's Jimmy Graham, buck naked, standing in the hot tub with his hands on his hips. First thing we see.
Okay.
And he's just looking at us, smiling. What's up, fellas? And we're just like, we don't know what to do at this point. And then there's Doug Baldwin in the other hot tub, also like just sitting there naked. Like, hey, guys, how's it going? And Ted and I are convinced that this is something that you guys do to make people feel awkward.
Was he standing up showing
like
you
a Greek god,
oh,
DJ?
Okay. Yes. I had that happen to me.
Luke was looking at me like, what in the hell are you talking about?
I hope people understand. I mean, literally, the door opens, and you could just see him. I mean, I just remember seeing him from the waist up, and it's just like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, like, I shouldn't be in here.
Right. I mean, and with a big poop-eating grin on his face.
Oh.
Like, he couldn't be happier to see us.
Yeah. Hey, fellas.
Like, as if he threw a party and no one showed up yet, and we were the first two people to show up, and he's like, yes!
Yeah, throwing this hot tub party. Doug's here. Like, Giacomini was in the back.
Yep.
Or somebody. Like, get in here, fellas.
We're naked and waiting for you guys.
Me, you know what? Because, like, I've had that happen to me too, Lou. Because I had to do the Harlem Globetrotters thing, and they put me in the visiting locker room because they go get the media guy to shoot basketball with the New Jersey Generals.
Yeah.
They all, as soon as I walk in there, they're all naked, and they're all ready for action. It's not just, like, regular naked.
Well, I didn't say... I don't believe BJ with this.
Ready for action.
BJ's convinced that when he went into the locker room, and I have had this argument with him, and I finally have just given up, and I just let him say the story the way that he wants to, but I still question it. He's convinced that they're all popping, like, partial chubs while in the locker room.
Why?
Exactly.
Why would anybody have a chub in the locker room?
I don't know, man. Like, why? Do you think that they fluffed before the radio personalities came in? Like, hey, boys. Got radio guys coming in. Right. What's that?
I wasn't sure what you said there.
Fluffed.
Fluffed, all right.
Yeah, like a fluffer.
Yeah, right. Oh, radio guys getting in here. Let's get high.
Right. I'm going to make sure that they know what they're working with.
Not just like regular naked.
Well, I didn't say Jimmy was ready for action.
Well, but I mean, I know they play pranks on you. So I walk in and it is just like, it's a show of like, wow, these guys definitely are, they have what I don't have. There's no doubt about it.
Maybe
a jump shot.
Yes. Or maybe they just have giant dongs, man.
Right? I mean, most of them are over 6 foot.
Right. Like, of course their dong's going to look like a baby's arm.
That seems like a weird response, too. Like, that guy must be hard. It's too big. It's too big.
Sir, did you get hard for me?
So I wouldn't put it past them. Because
what do you think? Like, Luke's like, hey, bro, I'm bringing my friends Ted and Steve on a tour. Jimmy, could you just work up a stiffy for them when they come into the hot tub room?
Jesus.
Was that a prank?
Were they fully naked?
He was.
Were they
was
fully he? Naked?
Yes.
That wasn't a prank. That was.
Oh, is this a happy coincidence?
I mean, that's kind of.
And I love how they're like, "Hey, what's up, buddy?"
Good point. It was just funny because it was like it felt like he was anticipating us.
Ta-da!
Like he was just there.
I don't know. I don't. Honestly, that's kind of like.
Wouldn't it be great if Luke's like got me? Yep.
That would have been. I still like. I feel like there's a good chance Jimmy just was sitting there. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like it was Giacomo. I don't know.
I can't remember. I think it might have been Brandon. Was he on the team? No, it was someone else. Gone?
Somebody else was in the back. And I feel
was
like.
Was it Glowinski, maybe?
Maybe. I just feel like once we looked nervous in front of Jimmy, I feel like then he popped up with, like, hey, fellas.
Hey, guys. Fluff this one, too. We all fluffed for you.
Trying to get Globetrotter ready.
So normal that I did.
As a general ready.
Didn't even think about it.
No, well, Ted and I were convinced that you were screwing with us.
Nope. If you bring like a tour around and there's females involved, I'll usually like try and book that tour around when no one will be in there, so that like you don't.
But
run
see,
into
Ted,
that
you, you and Ted got the special tour.
But I figured, you know,
you want to see some naked men, guys? Come on over.
You guys can handle it.
Well,
it's fine.
You guys, I don't know if we could handle it.
Like, part of me is happy he felt comfortable with us enough to bring us into like the locker, like the most cherished of all places. But
right.
Also, I'm with you. I don't know if we were ready.
We weren't, clearly.
Baird was fine. My buddy Baird, he's taking a pee. He's chilling. He's making use of the locker room.
He just made that locker room like it was his own.
Yeah, like Baird was fine.
He branched off from us and took a leak in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm okay with taking a leak at the VMAX bathroom, but like not the team's like locker room bathroom. I don't know why. I was like, I don't know if I don't want to do that. I don't want to walk in and be like, bro, that's my urinal.
Plus, like, Steve
dude,
and
you're peeing in Jimmy's urinal, man.
Steve and I try to be pretty good and cool about, like, meeting people and stuff. So, I know we've told this story, but besides even that, then we go into the equipment room. Number one, I've never seen that much gear in my life.
Gosh, it was like just sports exploded all over.
I don't care if you're a Seahawks fan. Like, you just wanted to run in there and start grabbing stuff.
One of everything.
But then we're talking to, like, the equipment guys. And then, like, you walk out of the office and I just, like, bumped into Sean. Oh, my bad, Sean.
Yeah, and Sean Alexander's just there. Like, hey, man, you're not even on the team and you're just swinging by to say hi.
Yeah, it's almost like surreal. Like, all right, play cool.
And the tight ends coach is just giving Jimmy crap or giving Luke crap. I can't remember. He was like, hey, maybe next time you need to bring Nick Vinette with you. Like, that was hilarious. It was just a fun experience.
Yeah.
Fine, you guys. We grabbed food afterwards, and we were both like, "Was that weird or was that normal?" Like,
no, that's just normal.
Okay,
yeah, then, I know.
It's kind of it was just funny. Wow. It was like Jimmy was just like the welcoming committee.
It's
like,
what's even more awkward is post game stuff, because it's like everybody's, you know, you got things to do. You're showering up, you're getting changed, and like 80% of the locker room is fully or like half naked, and there's like probably 85. Media members in there,
that,
all with cameras everywhere.
See, I found that's really awkward.
But it gets to the point where like you just. I don't know. You just kind of go about your business. Like, I don't even think about it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure in BJ's eyes, they all are cranking it right before the media comes in.
So there's two stories about dudes in the locker room.
Okay.
Number one, Miles tells his story much better than I did. It's his story. But he used to do, like, reporting for Raven stuff.
Uh-huh.
And apparently Tony Siragusa, like, purposely would sit there fully naked to do his interviews to keep him short. And then...
That's awesome.
The other crazy story I've always heard is that Warren Sapp, which I feel like when you talk about... Dip in, like chewing tobacco, it's mostly a white guy thing.
Yeah.
But Warren Sapp used to be a dipper. I don't know if he dips anymore. But apparently he would sit there just in his underwear with a huge dip in and would lay down towels and would spit on the towels to like give himself a buffer from the media.
What?
Yeah, that's the story I heard.
Bro, I'd be so pissed if I was like the equipment guy that has to do like,
have to clean those towels.
Yeah, you got to pick that crap up.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, overall, picking up towels is probably not the best part. I think that's a lot of plastic gloves you just grab.
Yeah,
throw them in
yeah,
there.
You're right. I mean, at that point, they've probably picked up weirder stuff. I mean, Robert Gallery was known for peeing his pants before every game to get in the head of the opposing team.
I've never heard that.
Oh yeah, I had a buddy. His brother used to work with the Hawks, and he confirmed it because I've heard that rumor before. That like Gallery, who used to be an offensive lineman.
Yeah, and massive dude.
Yeah, he was on the Raiders, eventually came over to the Hawks, who was supposed to be this big pickup. It did not go as well as they hoped. I think
he was a bust everywhere.
Yeah, he played one season and retired.
Yeah, I mean, he was a first-round pick as a lineman. He was supposed to be the man.
Right, and then he got a little bit better in Oakland eventually, and then they picked him up over here, and it just didn't go well. But apparently, he purposely, before every game, would soil himself before he went out there. Or during warm-ups, I can't remember where, but at some point before the game started, he pissed his pants and would play the whole game that way to get inside the head of the opposing team.
Wow.
Right? And you got to
intense.
You got to imagine that he's not the only one doing weird stuff like that.
No.
And so I eventually, my buddy, his brother worked in the, I think he still does. I'm like, hey, man, could you ask your brother, is that true about Gallery? And he didn't even need to ask. He goes, oh, no, I know it's true. I'm like, you do? He goes, oh, yeah, my brother's complained about it before.
What about hockey? Like, I know in, like, the you know, kind of like the scrums or whatever, when you got a pile in football, there's weird stuff that goes on. Like, does that happen in hockey too?
I haven't heard anything like that.
All right.
But, you know, they're not a bunch of whiny P words.
Oh.
Full circle, Ted.
Well, good callback.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, man.
Why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, Ted, so we should talk about my experience at the dentist's office.
All right.
It got weird. All right. When the mega guests come back. Come on, play it.
Live a little. That's what Ted and Steve are going to do. The Megacast will be back.
Well, I can live a little. Five times a riddle. It's getting well before your eyes. Make sure you give a little. Before you go to the great and out in the sky.
History. Without it, we wouldn't know what's happened. Join us this week on the History Channel for an update of the Anthony Weiner story. He won 7 times to serve as a congressman, but in 11, Weiner pulled a political boner when he tweeted explicit photos of his namesake to 6 women. He resigned Congress, but during a mayoral race, pulled another dinger when he sent more pics of Mr. Hugh Johnson to Sidney Leathers, who told everyone that he was calling himself Carlos Danger. The girth of the story increased when his computer was seized while investigating the sexting of a 15-year-old. Discovered were his emails to presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, which would soon be in the hands of the FBI, but that's another story. So join us for the ongoing saga of Anthony Weiner, the dick who brought down a presidency, on the History Channel. If it didn't happen, it isn't history.
These guys would crush a cake by the ocean. The Megacast is back.
And another thing about the protest, Ted.
I'm kidding. We played this song so much on the donkey trip.
I love this song.
And I swear, God, it's only been 2 months that I realized he was talking about eating cake by the ocean. I was always like, what are they saying?
But what does it even mean? Is that a sexual thing?
Is it?
I don't know.
I thought he was just bragging. Like, yeah, I live in Malibu. I eat cake by the ocean.
Man, I wish I could live a life like that.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with eating cupcakes on the beach.
Right. It just seems like, I don't know why, but that just seems like, yeah, I'm that rich. I'm eating cake by the ocean. I could probably, you know what? That song probably has a whole real meaning, and I just went, look at this guy bragging.
Ted, I'm pretty sure that song doesn't have much of a meaning. And you know what? Maybe at some point you and I need to find a place. Maybe, you know what? Summer Meltdown next year. We eat cupcakes by the river.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
The cupcake guys.
Yeah, and we'll bring our stereo and we'll listen to that song.
Over and over.
And we'll bring enough cupcakes for everybody.
You know, yes. You know what we should do? We'll take down the old school, like, what's it, those little ovens you can bake at home?
The easy bake ones?
Yes. Yes. Like, you guys want a little cupcake? We're making them right now.
But they're already made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we wouldn't really have that time, energy, or ability to make good cupcakes. So we'll just get them from like Yellow Leaf or hell, from Safeway.
That would be funny though if we made a cardboard oven, and then when people come down, like, hang on, let's see if they're done yet. But like the oven's fake, and we just have real ones sitting in there.
And then we have a flashlight that gives the appearance that there's a light in there.
Yeah, exactly.
We're doing it.
That would be awesome.
This isn't make believe now. We have to make that happen.
Is there anything left in the oven? I might be able to scrounge you up a dozen. Hang on.
Hold on a second and get a bowl. I would just have a bowl that has all the mixture in it that's just there for show, and we just have to stir it up.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Turn around. Here.
We're wearing, I was going to say aprons. What am I, in a paint class and I'm 12?
You got to have aprons that have like our faces, but our faces are on cupcakes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you got to have my face on yours, and yep. I'll have your face on mine.
Absolutely. And they light up.
I'm with the cupcake guy. Are you guys the cupcake guys?
Dude, why don't we be the cupcake guys?
That'd be awesome.
We got to get an elaborate amount of cupcakes.
Yeah. This is going to be hard to do. You know
Steve,
what else?
What did you pack? 500 cupcakes.
Yeah. And we'll get like Taryn and put her in a cupcake costume. Yep. She has to stand out there and be like, hey, I'm here with the cupcake guys.
Who wants Ted and Steve cupcakes? Bro.
And nobody on the beach is going to believe there's no weed in them either.
Right. They'll be like, dude, I didn't get high from these. And people are going to be mad because there isn't any weed in them. Like,
I didn't get high at all. Like, yeah, dude, it's a cupcake, you druggie.
Right. And that's illegal.
Yeah. You think we're just giving out weed down
here? Gosh. Guys, irresponsible bunch of Fs.
But it is a festival. So 2 years from there, they'll be competing cupcake beach parties.
A big bake-off, a bake sale.
Right? And you know what will happen? It's a festival. One of the crazy Burning Man people is just going to start baking actual cupcakes down there.
And they're going to just trump us.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Oh, what do you guys got, a cardboard oven?
That's cute. We actually built an ocean, and I'm making cakes.
Right? See, the waves come over you as you eat one of the cupcakes.
It's got like a team of 30 people that are creating a wave-like atmosphere in the river. Ted, I went to the dentist the other day. Well, I went to the dentist a little while back.
Yeah, because you keep eating all these cupcakes.
Right, and apparently it gave me a cavity. Or I had an issue with an old filling. And he's like, let's just get it out now. That way it doesn't lead to anything where you have to get the tooth removed or a crown or whatever it may be. It's like, you've had this filling. It's like old school filling from when like you were in high school. I'm like, all right, fine. Go to the dentist. They numb up my mouth.
All right.
Do what they usually do. Man, I haven't had a cavity or a filling in forever. It is insane how numb your mouth gets these days. Like, I don't know what they're using now, but yeah, it is incredible. So my mouth is complete. Like, I mean, I am the Weekend. I can't feel my face, but I didn't need cocaine.
Oh, good reference.
Thank you. I'm like Mauro Ranallo with these references.
You are.
Thank you. That's the only one I got. and so does all that stuff really easy. But here's the part. I'm tired. As I'm always tired.
Yeah.
And so I'm like trying not to fall asleep, you know. Didn't get a lot of sleep the night before that because I was at wrestling practice. So I'm ready to take a nap. So they put one of those blocks in my mouth.
It keeps your mouth open.
Right. So he's working. And I'm like, great. Now I don't even have to care. Well, I thought at one point he was doing something. I thought he was trying to remove the block. But he was just doing something in my mouth. So I opened my mouth a little bit and the block moved. It's still in my mouth. But it's like in my head, it probably was still fine. But I'm thinking it's about to fall out. And what happens if it falls out and I just swallow this block? Is this guy prepared to give me the Heimlich?
To reach in there and pull it out?
Right. So I'm like trying my best. I'm like biting down really hard. And then you know how it is. Your mind plays the best tricks on you that anybody could play. So now I'm freaking out and I'm like, I got a cough. What am I supposed to do? So I'm trying to breathe through my nose and breathe out. I'm like trying not to cough because he's still like doing the drilling stuff.
Yeah.
Finally, I'm like, I just go, ah! I guess like, because I can't speak. So I'm like, well, this is the international sign for I need to stop you from doing what you're doing. So I go, ah, he stops. And I'm like, I got to move the block. And as he moves the block, I cough.
And the block goes out.
Wait, that would be great. Everything that's going on in my mouth at that moment just shoots out like a volcano on his face.
Oh, Steve, you coughed up spit and blood on the dude's face?
I was like a tool song, man.
Was he wearing like the shield?
He had like the mouth thing. It wasn't that bad, but it was bad enough. Like it wasn't like bloody, but it was spitty.
There's something weird about somebody else's spit.
Yeah, what do you do at that point? I didn't say anything.
What does he say?
He says nothing. He just continues to do his job like a pro. And I go, oh, sorry. But like the whole time now right. So for the rest of the time, I'm like, gosh, this guy probably hates me. I just spit on his face.
And he doesn't acknowledge it? Nothing?
Nothing.
Does it just happen every day they get spit on?
It must. It must not be a big deal. It was a big deal to me. I felt terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Like, I almost want to get him a Christmas card this year.
I wouldn't go that far.
I won't.
But good thing he played. Like, would have been, can you imagine if he, like, stood up and was like, gross!
Dude!
Like, what the hell, dude?
I'm out. I'm done. Fend for yourself. Figure it out. Here's some gum. Just shove it up in that hole.
Should have stayed in medical school.
So then, it's almost like karma got me. So everything's done. all good. I leave. Mouth is so numb.
It's like, I walk outside, somebody spits on me.
Yeah, right. That would have been funny. A bird poops on me, man spits on me.
Instant karma.
So I leave, and I'm like, well, crap, this is exciting stuff. On Friday, we're going to have the USA Network's doing a new TV show about football fanatics. They got a guy from the UK who's the host of the show.
All right.
And he wants to go travel from city to city to learn about the culture for each team, like tailgating and all
Damn
that
it.
Fun stuff. It's a great idea, right?
Yeah, that was my old idea. So, I transfer English Premier League soccer fans for two fans from the SEC.
Oh, dude, so this show's like right up your alley.
Yeah.
So he's coming in on Friday, and we're going to take calls from people, giving him ideas of what to do this upcoming weekend for the Hawks game, and in turn, we're going to be on the TV show that's going to, I think, premiere in November. So it's really exciting. So they're like, hey, yeah, make sure you wear Seahawks gear. That'd be really cool. Because they ask, hey, what are you going to wear? I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to wear a Seahawks shirt. They're like, great, Seahawks are on board with this. The NFL is on board with this. Everything's going on. I'm like, great, you know, just understand, though, I do the show kneeling, so I hope they're okay with that. No, I didn't say that.
Oh, you even called me off guard. I was like, that's a weird joke, Steve. Why would you kneel during, oh, NFL, sorry.
Ha-cha-cha. Well, anyways, I'm like, oh, I should get a new lid for Friday morning. You know,
yeah.
I know the shirt I want to wear, but I wanted to get a fresh hat. So I go to the store, go to Lids at the South Hill Mall. Again, remember, half of my face is numb.
All right.
So I got the crooked smile going. I'm like, I'm just going to go in. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm going to go in, find my cap. Either it's going to be at Dick's, either it's going to be at Just Sports or that random Northwest sports store that has everything under the sun.
Yeah.
Go in there and, of course, run into listeners. Steve! So I want to apologize because one of them says he listens to the Megacast. I was not high. Like, I probably looked weird. I tried... Whoa, maybe I am high.
Oh, message.
Battery's running low.
Oh.
In my brain. I'm trying to talk, and I'm drooling out of my mouth the whole time. And I'm like, ah, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm like.
Did you mention the dentist?
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
I don't want people to think you're strung out.
Right, but I'm like, if they don't. Hold on a second, Claw. It's good to meet you, too. I just want to get a hack because we're on a TV show. Oh, hold on. I'm drooling again. Of all times, I just want to come in and come out. And
the guy's just like, hey, what's up, Steve?
I probably made the conversation a lot shorter than it should have been, but please understand, I just, it's very embarrassing. I didn't want to keep drooling all over myself while I was trying to talk to you guys, but it was nice to meet those dudes.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah.
That is always awkward.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Like, yeah. I was going to say, like, 8 years ago, I was going to a Sounders game.
Uh-huh.
And I just, there was an ex there that I hadn't seen in a very long time.
Uh-oh.
And, like, this dude starts talking to me, and I look up, and she's, like, 10 feet away, like, waving at me. And I remember I just went, like, silent and walked away from the dude, and then, like, had to go on the air and be like, hey, man, I apologize. I would always stop and talk.
Right.
That was one of the rare times that I was on tilt. I couldn't handle it. Sorry.
Right? The last place I wanted to be was where she was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it's just like, right. At the end of the day, like, right, you just feel like a dumbass. Like,
yeah. Some
guys, these two guys are happy to see Steve Miggs. And you're like,
and I'm drooling all over myself. Ugh. And probably like their girlfriends that are there, like, you could tell they didn't care. And I'm there drooling. They're like, who is this weirdo that these guys are happy to meet? Like, what? I need to rethink my relationship with my man that he is a fan of this guy.
Yeah.
Steve the Drooler.
And the girlfriends.
No, STD is not the nickname I need.
STD.
Steve the Drooler.
Steve the Drooler, STD. Yeah. That's going to stick now. You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. It'll only pop up every couple of weeks, though. So it's okay.
I had one last night. Going
STD?
Into
STD?
No.
Oh.
Just an experience with people. So I'm going in my elevator, right, in my mm-hmm. building, and it's like 10 o'clock. So after the podcast, I went out and had a couple beers. So I'm at a bar where it's normal, like median age is probably like mid-30s and above, right? Okay. And I'm wearing my Washington hat and, like, my one hoodie, and this one person's like, you look really cool. And I was like, thanks, man. Like, I am cool. And I'm, like, walking home, and then, like, the elevator door opens, and it's, like, these two dudes in, like, their 20s, and I'm like, hey, I bet they think they're cool. And then one of their girlfriends was so hot and, like, ridiculous. She just gave me this look like who are you?
Ah!
And I was like, oh, yeah. That hot 22-year-old does not, like, I do not look cool at all.
No, yo.
I'm just old dude waiting by the elevator.
Right, yeah. They're like, is that Bert Kreischer?
Oh, God. I felt like an idiot.
That's funny, yeah. Dude. Hey,
smoking hot.
And she just brought you back down to earth.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, you know what? it's Tuesday night. I have no idea where she's going dressed like that, but it's someplace cool.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you look good doing it.
Yeah.
This Friday, are you coming to Defy?
Is that Friday?
Yep.
All right.
All right, good, because I got your tickets.
All right. I was like, ah, I'm on the fence, but I'll probably go.
All right,
you
cool.
know me. Well, I thought I missed it last week.
No, it's this Friday night. Defy right. Wrestling over at Washington Hall. Some great matches. Dude, actually, this is a stacked card.
All right.
You got John Morrison, Mundo, Impact, Cougar Mellencamp. You know,
nice.
He's wrestling a guy by the he's wrestling Jeff Cobb.
Oh.
Which is going to be great.
Yeah.
Swerve. He's going to be wrestling Matt Riddle, who's like the king of bros. He's awesome. He's an MMA guy that now is doing wrestling, and he's killing it. Taya is taking on Christina Von Erie, who, and it's a triple threat. And they're also Nicole Matthews is in that match. Mike Santiago's back with his boy, Ethan HD.
Oh, nice.
The American Guns, they're going to be wrestling.
I like Mike on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, Mike's great on Twitter.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, sometimes he just says stuff that I wish I could say.
Yeah, and he just kind of cuts to the quick a lot.
Yeah. And he's a super great guy, and he's incredible in the ring as well. Yeah, there's a lot of great matches. It's a stacked card, and I heard that Walter Thurman from the former Seahawk is going to be there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I just found that out today, and our buddy, you haven't met him yet, but Mondre G, he should be your buddy. He's one of the coaches for the Seahawks. He'll be there.
So nice.
There'll be some Seahawk love going on at Defy at the Washington Hall this Friday. Go to defywrestling.com if anybody wants to get tickets. I'm back ring announcing. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Excellent. That's always a good time, man.
Oh, and Brody King, I'm looking forward to seeing. He's a big dude. And he's wrestling Big Jack, another big dude.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Both of them are agile. So that's going to be crazy to watch. Two big guys just flying around like luchadors.
Nice.
Yes. All right, let's get out of here, Ted.
Get some push-ups.
Get a few more push-ups in. Yes. Back with the hot hit again.
Yeah.
The tastemaker, the Ted Smith.
Yeah, tastemaker until that 22-year-old chick was like.
Yeah, she probably thinks all you like to listen to is like DMX.
Yeah,
that's the last hip hop record you bought, old man.
Yeah. Did you watch Who Shot Tupac and Biggie? I bet you did, old man.
Yep. I bet you like Straight Outta Compton. Remind you of when you were my age.
Probably a nice girl, huh?
Yeah. Probably thought you were really cool and wanted to hang out with you.
Like, God, that guy's so cool. Like, yeah, these two dudes are really hot, but I gotta get that dude. What is he, like 36?
That's my kind of guy. All right, let's get 10 Mega Family. Thank you for listening.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Well, didn't time that right.
Yeah, it's weird. It got a little quiet.
Yeah, I don't like doing push-ups without music.
Yeah, it's weird. It's
kind of sad and pathetic.
Don't spit on anybody like Steve does.
No. Oh.
Did it die?
Battery is very low. 4%.
We got to end this, Steve.
All right. Thank you for listening. Find us on Twitter at TheMegacast.
Peace.